This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome my colleague, Michael Vlahos. Teaches history at Johns Hopkins. Michael has a new essay that is most helpful to understand where we might be. The essay is published at A New Civil War. Michael is looking at Spain. Most recently, Michael and I talked about Spain because of an essay written by a scholar about lessons learned from the Spanish Civil War of the 1930s, a struggle that left Spain scarred, badly damaged for decades, for generations. However, Michael has discovered, as the scholar guided us to discover, that the war is not over, that it continues in the culture. Michael, a very good evening to you. The reason we're looking to Spain, well, chiefly because you guide me there and have for many years, part of the inquiry we're making is, are we now in a civil war? Is this a civil war? We don't know. It's not obvious. You're not supposed to be able to see it inside. We know the Romans invented civil war, and ever since the Roman civil war of the first century BCE, ending with an emperor and the empire itself, ever since then, each time, each epoch, where there are societies, cultures, that tear themselves apart in a civil war, they look to the Roman, the Latin writers, the Latin historians, the poets, to guide them. Well, we're looking to Spain, which looked to Rome in the 1930s. I mentioned to you, Michael, that one twist that I know is present today that may or may not have been present in Spain in the 1930s is the tribes, the migration. That was present for Caesar and for the Roman Civil War, the tribes moving across the Rhine and into what is now France, then called Gaul. I mention that because this week I've been reporting repeatedly on the tribes, the people marching from Senegal to Brazil, from Brazil to Ecuador, from Ecuador to Colombia, from Colombia to Panama, Panama to Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Guatemala, on to Mexico and on to the American border, marching as we speak. Those are the tribes that suggest to me there's a large global movement of dislocation, and the ambition for everyone in that global movement is to get to the United States or its equivalent in Europe. That is the dream of these marching players. The Biden administration has not responded in depth at this point, but it is true the Biden administration is aware of the Great Migration. And in these last days, initially indicating from the Biden administration that it wants immigration reform in the Congress, and it's willing to pass that immigration reform with just Democratic votes. In other words, use reconciliation in order to resolve what the Biden administration believes is the immigration quandary. Part of the resolution will be to offer green cards or citizenship to the millions already here. However, we both know that will encourage that marching that I've been reporting on in Central America to increase. The flow is coming. So, with that caveat, Michael, we turn to the Spanish Civil War. Our culture war is deepening. There's violence routinely now reported. Is that violence a warning? Is that an aspect of civil society breakdown? What do we learn from Spain that can inform us today? Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, John. The key trope, or the key idea in Stanley Payne's article in the journal First Things, was his narrative of what's going on in Spain today. In other words, you had a civil war that began in 1936, ended in 1939, or maybe when D-Day made Franco switch sides. But the fact is, ever since Franco died and Spain became a democracy, as well as a monarchy, but basically a democracy where the predominant sentiment was to reconcile. The whole idea of reconciliation and wiping away the pain and horror of the Civil War seemed to dominate national discourse and call to the Spanish national spirit. And that yet things began to change just about 15, 20 years ago, and the left in Spain started reawakening or reanimating, disinterring the kind of emotional caricaturing of the nationalist cause, often called the fascist cause, so that in many ways the left reawakened the emotions, the tragic passions of the Spanish Civil War, and then began to put them into play actively and deeply in of the political competition. And most recently, just several years ago, they began to pass legislation that made the politically incorrect portrayal of Spanish history during and after the Civil War a criminal enterprise. And so they basically have forbidden any sort of argument about the nature of what happened. And as we know, and I've mentioned it before in our conversations, the Civil War itself was triggered by the election of 1936. And still today, historians like Stanley Payne and others are at loggerheads as to whether that election was rigged and thrown. And it's so ironic because that's exactly the deep sense of contention in which America is truly split 50-50 today after this past election. And so what happened in Spain and is happening now is the zombie-like reanimation of the hatreds and passions of the Civil War. And they walk among the Spanish today as though they were still alive. And in many ways, they are. So what I see this as is a kind of a portent and also a judgment on the deeper conflicts within society. And in Spain, there seems to have been in this re-embrace of the emotions and the anger of the 1930s a decision to also re-embrace civil war. And some of this is so resonant to what is happening or what has happened in the last 4 or 5 years in our country. We have re-embraced the Civil War not as a vehicle for reconciliation, as it was for a century after the Civil War, but rather as a reawakened, reanimated Civil War that we all seem to wish to fight again. Or if we don't wish it, we are resigned to the necessity of having to reengage. In other words, it's almost as though it never left. It's that like that phrase, the past is still with us. It's not even past. Well, this is, to me, I think, you know, if you were to ask me the question, are we in a civil war? This dynamic, this reanimation of civil war in our midst, is not only a choice, but it is a powerful indicator that we are, in fact, in civil war, even though we're not yet fighting. Everything today in the United States feels like the United States after 1857, in those 3.5 short years between the Dred Scott, Bleeding Kansas, Kansas-Nebraska Act, and the bombardment of Fort Sumter. And I've been reading some Twitter threads from Spain, people angry and denouncing each other. And their voices in Spanish sound exactly like the voices of the spring of 1936. And so much of the anger that we're seeing in Minnesota and the constant drumbeat of anger, insurrection, is in many ways a mirror of what is happening in Spain.
Michael, let's look at what blue, or, well, the most extreme statements of blue, which you characterize in your essay as the Church of Woke. Let's look at what we can make of the claims, the demands, the ideology. And you have four conclusions. We're going to take them. We'll start with the first one, and then we'll come back with the other three. There is no reconciliation. There is no even, Michael, that's so obvious. There's no even search for reconciliation. The two sides are dug in, and they share very little, including the future. They have right. different versions of each other, and the future contains nobody from the other side. One right. side's going to win, one side's going to lose. How did Spain resolve that? With violence? Was that the end of the story? You sound like it was just delayed.
It's so strange to me because, as I said, the Civil War didn't just end in 1939. It continued as a kind of guerrilla campaign, which Pan's Labyrinth, this great movie by Guillermo del Toro, focuses on the war after the war. And so it wasn't really until Franco died in the early 1970s that the weight was lifted, and people were so tired at that point of the hatreds lingering on that there was such a palpable sigh of relief and a kind of unified desire, it seemed at the time, to get away from the war and to try and reconcile. And they were 20 years or more of a kind of a good feeling in Spain. I was in Spain in the 1990s, and politically it seemed to have put the Civil War behind it increasingly. But today, it's all back. And it's all back in terms of the rhetoric and also the determination to beat down the other side, right. bring it into submission.
All right, let's go on to three other rules. Michael Vlahos of Johns Hopkins, writing most recently at A New Civil War, reflecting upon lessons learned or unlearned about the Spanish Civil War reawakening. And that's what we'll look to when we come back. Where has this monster been sleeping? I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.